Well, friends, if you're wondering what the scripture text is, it's 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, and that is found on the very front, as well as in the Bible, but on the very front of your bulletin. So I'd invite you to just look at your bulletin, and let's read that verse together, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. We've already said it in litany a little earlier, but let's say it again, saying these words together. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, and in purity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, beloved in Christ, I need a cadet to help me up here, and I have a cadet in mind. I am thinking about a cadet named Levi Drent. All right, so you can go up here, just join me right here, okay? You don't have to talk a lot, don't worry, okay? But, all right, well, welcome to the pulpit. It's good to have you up here. And why did I ask you up here? Do you have any idea?
No.
Okay, well, I want to invite you to imagine something with me, all right? So you ready for that? You don't have to, if you want to, you can close your eyes, but you don't have to close your eyes and imagine it, all right? Let's imagine that one day soon, the church says, well, we would really like Levi Drent to be made the leader of the entire cadet ministry, the entire cadet program, all right? And they want you to be the main leader. How do you feel about that?
I don't know.
Okay. You think you could do it?
Maybe.
Wow. Confident. Get the program going each week. Keep it going for an entire year. Do you drive yet?
No.
Okay. Well, you'd have to use your bike to get here and back from church, but you could do that. Okay, a little slippery, all right, so be careful. Let's keep thinking about this. You're the main leader now, so you have to make the schedule for the year, the whole schedule. Make sure that it gets in the church bulletin so the parents of all the boys know that they have to bring the boys to church at that time. And you'd really have to get these landmarks down perfectly. You probably have them down already, but because you're the leader, though, and you want all the other cadets to know the motto and the code and all that, right? And as far as Living for Jesus, that song, you've got to know that by heart. You've got to sing it out loud because, again, all the cadets are going to be watching you and seeing if you know the words, all right? Okay, how are we doing so far? You think you can handle it? Maybe, okay. But you'd also have to plan what each cadre is up to, what they're reading, what their lessons are, and the badges they'd be working on, right? This year there were some pens that were made. You'd have to make sure you have all the raw materials for that, order that. And you'd have to make sure that all the machines downstairs are in good working order. You know, if one breaks, you got to make sure it gets fixed. And you'd have to order badges. You'd have to order those badges as the boys get their requirements to get the badge. So you'd have to have those ready. Still so good? So far so good? Yeah. Okay, you're kind of, yeah. And you have to figure out what to do if someone gets sick. Someone throws up that night or something like that. Oh, man. Or someone's not acting very good, right? And you got to have a talk with that cadet and say, you know, you really need to act better. Then you had to talk to the parents of that cadet. Ooh. And so you got to make sure all the parents' phone numbers, you have them down, because you might have to get a hold of them very quickly. Like if there's a snow day, you know, like Wednesday, you got to cancel. So you'd have to, you know, text everybody, that sort of thing. Speaking of parents, though, you know, there might be a parent or two who, yeah, they maybe don't like how you're doing something as the leader. They want to pull you aside after cadets and say, here's some advice for you, Levi. And you might even have to disagree with them. You might. And they might get upset and say something, well, my son isn't coming to cadets anymore. But you have to be kind. You have to be understanding, respectful in what you say and say, you know, well, this is the way we are going to do this, but we're going to have to disagree on this. I'm sorry you disagree with me. And the boys, of course, you have a responsibility to treat them with respect, right, and kindness. And you want to challenge them, and you want to have fun with them, but you also need to teach them. Most of all, you need to help them grow closer to Jesus, right? Okay. You still doing okay? You think you can handle this? No. Okay. It would be kind of hard, you know. But then you have other leaders, right? You have other leaders under you to help you, but they're looking for you to help them, to help you plan or help them plan each week. They're looking to you to set that schedule. What they need to be doing each week with their cadre, and you can't forget this. You know, you'd have to make sure the cadet program is all ready for the snow derby. You know, the sleds are all waxed up, and you'd need to plan the international camporee and, oh, fundraising, right? You'd need to set up the Vanderveen fundraising. You could get Scoff to help you with that one, though, probably, right? Okay, so you got to figure out that. You have a lot to do, huh? And you got a lot of people to help you, but it's still a lot, especially when people don't seem to think you're doing this work very well. And maybe you even kind of know they're talking about you behind their back. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? Now, keep imagining, maybe you're doing pretty well at this, but there comes a day when you come early to cadets, you're there, the first one there because you're the leader, and you're kind of feeling overwhelmed, kind of discouraged, right? And you're in that cadet room all by yourself, and you're just not feeling confident. You're kind of, oh, man, I don't know if I can keep doing this. You could use some encouragement, right? And a pat on the back, some solid advice from someone you trust, someone who's done it, right? And all of a sudden, out of the blue, in walks someone you know, Mr. Met. In walks someone you know who's done the job and done it for a number of years and knows what it is you're going through. And he comes walking in the door, and there he is, Mr. Metten. And he sees you're discouraged, and so he gives you that pat on the back, right? Tells you to keep up the good work, gives you some advice, and prays with you, right? To help you, and tells you, you can handle this. You can, you can. I know you're young, but you can do it. How great would that be when that happened? Amazing. Yeah, thank you. What a great word. I never thought of saying that word. That's a great word. Especially when you're feeling you couldn't do it at all. But after hearing Mr. Metten from him, you feel good again. You feel confident, ready to keep going, keep doing the job. I bet you'd like that. It'd be amazing, right? Absolutely. Well, you know what you just described? Levi, you are Timothy. And Mr. Metten, you are the Apostle Paul. Okay? And thanks so much, guys, for helping me give that little information there. You can still sit down. Okay, clap for this guy, okay? Well, that is a lot like what is happening here. Paul, the apostle, planted this church in Ephesus 15 to 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Paul planted the church in Ephesus on his second missionary journey, stayed there for a bit, then moved on, but he put Priscilla and Aquila in charge. Then Apollos came and became the preacher there, and then Paul returned to Ephesus. Apollos left, and he stayed. Paul stayed a good 2 years there, teaching and preaching, if not more. And eventually, when Paul had to leave, Paul told Timothy, he put Timothy in charge there, young, less experienced Timothy. Paul told Timothy, stay in Ephesus, be the preacher of the gospel there. You've been watching me for a few years now. You can do it. Paul and Timothy were quite close, as you probably know. Paul called Timothy his spiritual son. So Paul had been teaching Timothy basically how to lead a church. They were in what we might call a classic mentor-mentee relationship. Paul is the experienced one, church planner, preacher, apostle, pastor, and Timothy is his young friend whom he has put in this leadership position in the church in Ephesus, but he's less experienced and so on. Paul put him in the position, but Timothy is still fairly new at this, and he's all by himself now. Just like Levi was all by himself. And there is some trouble in Ephesus with the church. And some false teachers have risen up. And they're speaking against the good news that Timothy was preaching weekly to them or even daily. And it's clear that he is going through some tough times, challenges with this fairly new church. And Paul has heard about it from one of his messengers. Paul, you see, is in prison now. So the only way that Paul, the mentor, can help Timothy, his mentee, is by writing letters to him. And that's what the book of 1 Timothy is about. It's Mr. Metten coming up here and giving encouragement to Levi. And one of the encouraging things Paul says to Timothy is our cadet theme verse. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Encouraging words for this youngster, right? Build his confidence, encourage him, build him up. We find out Timothy was timid and shy in 2 Timothy. We learn that about him. Shy and young, of course. So Paul's got to build his confidence. And the church people themselves would read this letter and see that their young Timothy has the full authority of the Apostle Paul standing behind him. Paul, who spent over 2 years there. So they would hear Paul saying in this letter, don't you look down on this young man. Shame on you if you have been. But Paul doesn't stop there, does he? Because Paul knows how people are. Some people will continue to look down on Timothy no matter who tells them not to. So Paul keeps that sentence going, doesn't he? Don't look, let anyone look down on you because you are young. There's the reprimand for the people. And then Paul says, here's what you must do, Timothy, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Those are your marching orders, Timothy. You want people to no longer look down on you, then you make them look up to you. You set the tone. You set an example for them in your life. And of course, those aren't just instructions for church leaders like Timothy or for cadet leaders like Mr. Metten or even for cadet leaders like Levi. Those instructive words from God's word are for all of us, aren't they? For all of us. It's as if Paul is saying to us, it's as if God is saying to us, I have made you new. You are new creations in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Christ has died for you and has given himself to you to live in you, and I have declared you righteous and good because of Jesus, my son's work on the cross. That's who you are now. So now you have to start living like it. You want people to look up to you, says Paul to Timothy. Set an example for them with this five-fold godliness I just described in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. That's who you are. Now live it out. Become what you are. First, set an example in your speech. It's very hard to find accurate data for this, as you might well imagine, but the experts say a typical person speaks, on average, 16,000 words per day. Even if it's half of that, or even a quarter of that for some of us, I'll have hit my allotment by the end of the sermon, but who's counting? Set an example in speech. That means speak the truth, right? If you're going to speak about something to someone, you've got to speak the truth. The Bible is clear on the importance of speaking the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. Speak the truth in love, the Bible says. Jesus himself, what does he call himself? The way, the and the life. Paul is saying, Timothy, you want people to look up to you? Your words must be truthful. You are saved by the blood of Jesus. He lives in you. The truth lives in you. You become like Christ when you speak the truth in your words. Lies, John 8:44 tells us, belong to the devil, the father of lies. So speak truth, Paul says. Don't stretch truth. Don't avoid truth. Don't cover up truth. Your speech, your words must be full of truth. People look up to you for that. Second, set an example in your conduct. That's how you conduct yourself, how you behave. Behave. Makes me think of my grandma. Every time I hear it, I probably told you that. She'd say, now behave, and then she'd follow that up with, no more monkey business. Also makes me think of how the Westminster Confession begins. What is the chief end or purpose of a human being? Most important purpose we have in life. You know the answer. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I don't behave because my grandma tells me to, or because I want to stay out of trouble, or even because things go better for me when I behave. Those things are all good things. No, I behave, I conduct all my living, all of it, to give glory to God, to praise Him for creating me, for saving me, for loving me. I conduct myself, I behave the right way in order to give all the glory to God and Him alone, to praise Him. I do it with my conduct, my behavior, my deeds. Third, set an example in your love. Love your neighbor, the summary commandment Jesus gave to us. Now, there are some people who are easy to love, right? Your parents, friends, husband, wife, kids, fellow cadets. But God says, love your neighbor. And that neighbor includes, we find out in the Word of God, in places like the parable of the Good Samaritan, it includes your enemies. Wow. How is that even possible? Because it doesn't seem like the love in my heart is big enough for that. Enemies. Oh, but you forget. Don't forget who lives in you. Christ Jesus does. Christ showed love to countless enemies, died on the cross to bring friendship between us and our enemies. Our biggest enemy was God. Christ manages to reconcile us to Him at the cross, make us friends with Him again. How much easier is it for Christ's blood to reconcile us to each other, even to the ones we consider our enemies? Paul says, Timothy, you do that. You love your neighbor. Love those people in the church, even the ones who are giving you a hard time, acting like your enemies, and they will look up to you. You set an example of love for them that they will have to look up to. We can do that too. We can, because it's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. Fourth, set an example in your faith. That's your relationship to God, your love for God. That's the first summary commandment Jesus gave. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know what that means, right? Setting an example in your faith. It's talking with Jesus, praying, and listening to Jesus, reading His Word. I heard one of the cadet junior counselors just the other day say that recently he got much more serious about God's Word, reading it, listening to what God has to say to him, instead of just, you know, trying to catch the word from a verse on his phone. He carries his Bible with him more, reads it, setting an example in his faith that he is loving God more and more each time he does that, regularly, consistently opening up his Bible and reading from it, loving God, setting an example in faith. Fifth, set an example in purity. Purity. Now, isn't that a lot about what's going on right up here in your head? Your thought life, your thoughts. You will find, cadets, and everywhere you get, the more access you will have to be tempted into impurity. Some of you cadets, I'm sure the older ones have cell phones, some don't, but it is likely at some point you all will, or the equivalent thereof. And they'll probably be smartphones, phones that give you access to many, many things on the internet, many things helpful, many more hurtful, harmful, things our eyes can't unsee, as the saying goes. I can't unsee it. Impure things, impure images, ready to blast right into your brain the second you see them, right into your thought life. Paul tells Timothy, set an example in purity. Don't look at those impure things. Don't let them into your minds. Keep them out. Look away. Keep your thoughts pure. Wow, man, that's impossible. That's impossible because impure images bombard us every day. And we might think, we're already guilty of messing up our thought life, our purity, because those things, those images are always so around us. But, you know, Jesus says, I've paid for that sin too. And I've turned you from guilty to not guilty on the cross. That's how God the Father sees you, with a not guilty verdict on you. So Jesus says, now let's work together, you and my Holy Spirit, on living up to that not guilty verdict. You partner with the Holy Spirit in ridding your minds even of impurity. You partner with the Holy Spirit in avoiding and preventing an impure thought life. Anytime those impure thoughts, powered by those impure images and the temptation that they bring, come knocking at your door, you say, Holy Spirit, help me turn away. Help me look away. Help me turn off the phone, the television program, so that I might set an example in purity, so that my thoughts stay pure. Set an example in your speech, your words, in your conduct, your deeds, in your love, love your neighbor as yourself. In your faith, love the Lord your God above all. In your purity, your thoughts. Thoughts, words, deeds. Love God, love neighbor. Beloved, I never saw that until this week studying. We've got the classic prayer of confession categories: thoughts, words, deeds. And we've got the two greatest commandments: love God, love neighbor, all laid out for us in Paul's pep talk to Timothy. How about that? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And Timothy was encouraged by that, and the church was chastened by that. Timothy must have been feeling pretty good about that, but then Paul challenged him too. Now set an example in your thoughts, words, deeds. Love God, love neighbor. And if you don't think you're old enough to do that, think again, because once Christ has moved into your life, His Holy Spirit can help you in these things more than you have ever dreamed possible. Paul knew it. He said in another place, you know the verse, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. 4:13 Philippians. He says that to every one of you cadets. Every one of you, and to all of us, to echo the words of the cadet theme this year, this is how you all lead the way. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Apostle Paul and Timothy and their mentor-mentee relationship, and we're thankful for words like these that tell us that no matter how old we are, whether we're very, very young, whether we're very, very old, or anything in between, we still can, because Christ lives in us through His Holy Spirit, we can set an example for believers and for others. Thank you for biblical truth that tells us how to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.